You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, Browns fans, join the 100,000-plus fans in the official Cleveland Browns fan club, the Browns backers worldwide. It's free to join the biggest organized fan club in all of sports and includes team shop discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. To join, visit brownsbackers.org. And we are pleased to be joined right now by Matt Williamson. He is a scout, of course, for ESPN.com, football scout. He formerly did scouting for the Cleveland Browns and joins us on the show today. Matt, the first place I want to take you is into this coaching search and your thoughts on the timing of getting this done and its importance and relevance to building your team, to stocking it or restocking it with personnel and having that mesh between scouting and the new coaching staff.
Well, I mean, the scouts are doing their job anyways. You know, I mean, they're still pounding the pavement, and they're going to be at the Senior Bowl and East West and all these type of things, and they're going to be gathering information no matter what. I mean, what I guess you don't know from a personnel perspective is, hey, what kind of guys do we want? You know, what kind of scheme are we going to be running? That's important, but it's more important that you get the coaching hire right. You know, if they're waiting on somebody that's still out there, that, you know, to get the best player or, you know, to get the best coach for the job, then that's the smart move.
Matt, Nathan Zagura here. When you look at this team, obviously the coaching search, that becomes the top topic du jour right now. A lot of things coming out linking the Browns to Adam Gase. What do you know of Adam Gase, and what do you think he could bring to the table?
I know some people that are very close to the team that are extremely impressed with him. You know, that they think he is a great, innovative, offensive mind, young, aggressive, the next wave of head coaches. I mean, I think that would be an exceptional hire. It's easy to say, oh, he's coaching Peyton Manning, I could do that, you know, but you know, he's got, let's put it this way, at the least physical peak of Peyton Manning's career, Gase and company got the most out of him of any year during his Hall of Fame career. You know, I mean, that's an accomplishment. I mean, he got more than McCoy got out of him. McCoy was a very successful head coach in his rookie season. So I think that's a real, you know, potent hiring, especially if you're going to be drafting quarterback very high, which I would imagine is the plan.
We're visiting with Matt Williamson, scout for ESPN.com. And Matt, you know, you talk about the quarterback position, receivers. I mean, this seems like the kind of draft where you can get those high impact people. So if the guy ends up being an Adam Gase, somebody of that profile, it would be the right guy, right, to connect it with a draft that could fill your definite needs in these explosive offensive areas that could take advantage of them. I mean, that's really the innovative thinking that you want from your coach.
I think so, yes. You know, and obviously working with a first-round rookie, a fifth overall pick type of guy, as opposed to Peyton Manning, is very different. You know, I mean, it couldn't be any more different. But I think, you know, you still have Hoyer in the mix, and he could be a really strong stopgap guy or opening day starter that you don't have to force Manziel or whoever they decide that there falls into them, that they have to play that player immediately. So that gives Gase and company a lot of time to get comfortable with them. So I think that's a pretty good situation. And I don't claim to be a draft expert yet. I'm still just, you know, preliminary stages of that routine. I'm going to be more tied up with free agency and the like, you know. But one thing that's really been obvious is there's more underclassmen eligible this year or declaring this year than ever in the history of the league. And you're going to get really good quality all through this draft. And it's a great draft to have as many picks as the Browns do. And from what I understand, wide receiver might be the best of that group. You know, you might be getting third-round wide receivers that most years go at the beginning of round two.
Matt, when you look at this team and as it goes in the offseason, we know about quarterback and obviously the guys there, and we'll get your thoughts on some of those young quarterbacks coming out. What positions do you see the Browns needing to address most forcefully via free agency and the draft?
They absolutely need to find a running back. You know, I mean, I thought that was one of the biggest problems with this team overall was no threat in the running game whatsoever. And that makes everything easier. I mean, if I know it's a quarterback-driven league, and I believe that to be true, but I don't think it's an accident that over this past weekend, all four teams that ran the ball the best advanced to the championship games. You know, I mean, it's paramount importance, especially this time of year, and especially knowing your geography. I mean, if everything goes right and you're a good team and you're hosting playoff games in Cleveland, you're going to need to run the football. And I like the offensive line overall. I think you absolutely have to bring Mac back. And that's number one priority, I think, in free agency. And they have a lot of money. It would shock me if they didn't. It'd be nice to add one more guard to the mix, though. I mean, I think Pinkston's a good player, but he's hard to count on. Greco, I think, is really solid. I like the tackles. But one more guard to the mix, I think, would go a real long way, particularly a masher. I mean, a guy that you run behind on fourth and one, you know. And you mentioned receivers. They certainly could use one other. Little, I think Little is what he is at this point, and I don't see him as a breakout candidate. But Gordon is such a dynamic guy now, though, that I don't know that you need a superstar on the other side of him if you can run the ball. And I feel confident they can protect a better quarterback. So receiver wouldn't be as high a need to me as running back and guard. Looking at the front seven, they got a lot of talent there. I mean, they got to get more out of Mingo. Kruger came on as the season went along. I love Phil Taylor. Ruben's a good player. Maybe one more linebacker, you know, just like a run-and-chase type second-level defender that can play three downs. I think that would be useful. And the secondary, I love Hayden. I like Ward a lot. I don't know what I'd spend to keep Ward, but if you lose him, safety becomes a massive need to me. I don't know that you can count on the rookies from this past season. So, I mean, they certainly need things. And maybe another corner with size, you know, a sizable corner wouldn't be a terrible idea. But they probably won't fill them all in one off season. But they've got a lot of cap room, and they got a lot of picks and a deep draft, and you know, they have a lot of resources. So they might be a dramatically better team on paper when training camp opens.
Well, what you just said anticipates my next point here. So the cupboard isn't bare for the next coach. And break this down, though. If you were painting the picture of what would make this the attractive job, you don't have to do the roster rundown. You just did that. But bigger picture, the core that's on this roster, and what else? The cap stuff matters. The draft picks matter. Isn't this really a good situation for any coach to come into?
Well, except for every coach since you guys have been around gets fired in a year. I mean, so...
All right,
I mean,
that's a drawback.
That's a drawback, yeah. I mean,
that's a potential problem.
I understand it's new ownership, but they're doing the exact same thing after, you know, one season of ownership, that there's zero stability with that team. There was zero stability when I was there. I saw two head coaches in the one season I was at the Browns, and there's always changes. I thought that, you know, with this new guy coming over with Steelers ties, he would learn that, you know, we're going to pick a young coach and we're going to stick with him for 10 or 12 years through thick and thin and have some continuity in the organization. And if you could tell me, yeah, you have some good job security and we really are going to stick with you and we're going to draft a quarterback and we're really going to stick with him, I would say it's a great job. But there's nothing to prove that there's, you know, history doesn't show that.
Matt, as you look at this team and you look at everything that's going on right now and the perception that is, you know, growing right or wrong around the league, you laid out the fact they've got a roster, that they have some talent here, they've got the money, they've got the picks, you want to be able to get your guy. Talk to me about what you think is realistic for this team when they do get their head coach, make their moves in the offseason in the context of the AFC North at large, which doesn't seem to be a division necessarily on the rise.
No, I wouldn't say it's on the rise, but I would still say they're squarely fourth. I mean, I'm not going to speculate what their roster is going to look like between now and then, but my hunch is they will spend, you know, go get a starting guard in free agency and somebody in the secondary, keep Matt, keep Ward, use those draft picks on Mandel or somebody along those lines, a fifth overall type player, second round pick on a running back, a late first round pick on best defensive player available, and maybe a third rounder on an upside receiver. And, you know, that would be a nice pick for the offseason. It sounds doable. But, I mean, I look at the Steelers and the Ravens, and they both had down years. They didn't go to the playoffs by their standards. But they have quarterbacks in place. They have coaching staffs in place. I don't think either's going to be knocking on the door of 5-11 anytime soon. The Bengals have maybe the best roster in the league outside of the quarterback position. So, you know, they've proven to be highly competitive during the regular season. I think they will do some things at the quarterback position, at least bring in a Josh McCown or somebody like that, or use a second-round pick on a big-arm quarterback. But my hunch is Dalton will be their guy for the majority of the year next year. And that, you know, that young core isn't going away, and they get back Geno Atkins and, you know, some of those type of deals that they look like another double-digit type of win team too, because they don't have any major impending free agents either. So it's going to be a tough climb, but you're not in the NFC West either.
Matt, you brought up Johnny Manziel just then. Quarterback, obviously a huge need for the Browns at number four. There's a pretty good feeling they will be able to get maybe one of the top three guys on the board at the position there, which seems to be, as of this date, in any different order, depending on who you ask, Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles. Spend a few seconds, if you would, talking about those quarterback candidates and who you like the best and who you think will be the most successful in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm sure my opinions will change. Like I said, I mean, I'm in preliminary stages of draft research. The little I know about each guy, and I mean, I know, I'm familiar with them, trust me, is I'm very high on Bridgewater. I think Bridgewater is very polished. I love his makeup. I think he's NFL ready. I think he's got really good tools. Bortles scares me. I mean, the guy that everybody compares him to, and I very much see it, is Jake Locker. You know, a big, physical, strong-armed, erratic guy that probably needs more college time, and I don't think he's going to come in and be real NFL ready. You know, they're the opposite of Bridgewater, but he's got a high ceiling. But I mean, in Cleveland, I mean, he's going to be a guy that can cut the wind, and maybe you don't rush him in, and Hoyer is your opening day starter. So, you know, if you're patient with him and bring him along slowly, he might be a long-term home run. But I think there's more risk with him than any of them. Manziel, I really need to watch him more, because he's going to be this year's Tim Tebow, you know, this year's guy that everybody's going to argue about. Is he a first round? Is he an early first round pick? Is he a third round pick? He just makes a ton of plays, and I'm excited to learn more about him. And he's a guy, and of course you have to deal with all of them, but I would really like to sit down and have Manziel in my building and say, I don't care if you're cocky, but I want to know if, you know, are you going to be the face of this team? Are you going to be on billboards all over Cleveland, and is that who we want that to be? And if you're comfortable with that, I don't have a problem with the, you know, you're diminutive. He doesn't have the biggest body in the world. He doesn't have the biggest arm in the world. I mean, I think he can make plays in a Jeff Garcia type way.
So just to clarify, who do you have the Browns getting with the fourth overall pick in your earliest mock right now?
I haven't done any mocks. I mean, I'm an NFL scout and don't do college, and I'll be digging in more and more as the season goes on.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to, obviously, more visits from you, and we'll be curious to see how you see this thing kind of unfolding, Matt. But thank you so much for joining us.
Sure. One quick note before I hang up, though.
Yes.
And it happens every draft. You know, it happened with Aaron Rodgers. It happens, you know, Brady Quinn. They don't all work out. But after that run of the top 10 teams or so, there always seems to be one quarterback that's hanging around, and maybe that's the path the Browns go and grab that fourth quarterback with their second and first round pick. That's just one more option or one more way of looking at it.
Sure. No, I
better value.
We could see those scenarios as well. I think everything and anything and everything is on the board. Matt, again, great stuff, and we look forward to visiting with you again, my friend.
All right, thank you so much. Take care.
He's Matt Williamson, and he is from ESPN.com. He is their NFL scout. Lots of thoughts, though, on everything involving this football team. The coach search, the draft, personnel evaluation. I think he gave them pretty good grades, Nathan.
He did. And listen, it is a team that does have some talent. They're going to have the opportunity to make moves in free agency in this offseason to address some of the holes. They're going to have the draft picks to do it. I think that the roster could shape up very quickly here for the Cleveland Browns, and I think that there's no question in my mind, had Rob Chudzinski stayed the coach of this team, whoever is the coach is going to see a significantly improved roster on the field, and I think obviously a significantly improved win total at the end of the season.
Eric Metcalf joins us at the top of the hour, the former Browns return great, and obviously a wide receiver. He's got background at that position, because that's a position we're going to dive into in hour number two with our review in grades. That's all coming up on CBD, ESPN 850 WKNR. Get this right.